are back once again.
Yeah.
I'm sober.
Yeah. Last night was something else, man. I got pretty loaded. I just walked off the show.
You did, yeah.
I said, fuck it.
I'm going to go make some tacos.
I got up, walked up, made some tacos, brought Jenny back some tacos. Khan saw me make the tacos. He was laughing. Watching you eat tacos. And well, then it's I made some tacos for myself.
I would normally not eat on the screen because I think it's gross, but but I was pretty drunk and I made the tacos for myself.
And I didn't come back. She had to go get me. She's like, "You're not coming back," and I was like, "No." That shit happens.
We're so silly.
Shit happens. I got bored with the show. So I thought,
well, thanks.
It was over. It was over anyway. From what I remember. Show was over.
From what you remember.
And I said, yeah, and somebody said, go check on Pookie. I said, yeah, good idea. Check on Pookie. And I'm going to get something to eat. And I walked off. And I already had tacos prepped. So it was only like a couple minutes to do up the meat and then do the tortilla. You know, heat up the tortillas and just made them.
Yeah.
You know,
I kind of remember that. I remember they were good.
You were sitting there eating, then you just kept talking. And then I went and looked at it. This is all right. But you kind of forgot that the show was on. You're just kind of, he'll be back. I guess he's not coming back. You're reading what people are saying, but you're not saying out loud what it was they said to you.
That's all right. I'm just kind of like, I used to worry about it. And like, sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night going, oh shit, I didn't remember like if I finished the topic or whatever. And I did wake up in the middle of the night cause I had to pee. And also cause Pookie jumped on my chest. Yeah. Like she does going, hey, just checking on you. Are you awake yet? Are you awake? Yes, you are. Yeah. Okay. And then, but I woke up and I was like, nah, fuck it. Yeah. I'm sure it's fine. Whatever.
They're in there talking.
Everybody thinks it's funny when you get that hammered anyway.
Thought it was funny.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny, too.
Yeah, I've been listening to this new band.
He just showed me this, you guys.
Yeah, you guys might like it. It's taking me back to my teenage years, man. It's fucking old classic metal, but it's new. It's a new band. It's called Eternal Champion. And it's good. It sounds kind of like a cross between Iron Maiden, Manowar, and Ozzy Osbourne.
I thought it sounded a little Ozzy.
Sound like Ozzy
singing.
Like
Black Sabbath.
Yeah, kind of like Black Sabbath and Ozzy. But every song is about some heroic motherfucker like that. And he's a barbarian. He's a fighter pilot. He's a fucking dude in a war. He's just whatever he has to be at the moment in each song. And that's why he's the eternal champion. He's a champion for all time, across the multiverse. Yeah. He's even an alien. It's the same motherfucker, but he's a different character in every song. And as soon as it was explained to me that way, I immediately knew. I said, okay, all right, I accept that.
Well, like I said, I admire their commitment to their thematic kind of overarching theme there.
Because you could kind of say that about Iron Maiden, that it was all about the same dude. Every song was the same guy, just in a different setting.
He's just doing different
shit.
He's
just playing a different character. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's it right there. But yeah, check it out. If you're into, and the genre is called epic metal.
Sure.
And which that's the first time I heard of that, but I was like, oh, of course, I know exactly what you're talking about. I put that shit on, it was fucking epic.
It was fucking epic. You're like, yep.
That's epic.
Truth in advertising, that's epic, all
epic
right.
Epic fucking metal. Eternal Champion.
Yeah. I love the cover of that album that you showed me.
It's like real low budget barbarian fucking.
Very Frank Frazetta looking kind.
Yeah, it's like a knockoff.
Like a knockoff of Frank.
Yeah, Frank Frazetta done with fucking colored pencil.
Sure.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
Kind of actually looks like the fucking cover artwork from a D&D module from back in the 70s.
It does. That's what it reminds me of. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're doing a movie review today. This is a movie that we watched a couple nights ago. It just came up on Shudder. It's a Shudder original. And this is a South Korean movie called Lingering. Now, I think that the original title was Hotel Lake, which actually makes a little bit more sense than Lingering does. But whatever. They just changed it.
This is the Korean Shining.
It is very Shining-esque.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure. Is it only just like The Shining because it's set in like an abandoned hotel? and no. there's a room that's kind of cursed, or it just has a very Kubrickian kind of, except it's much warmer. It's not like...
It was, imagine if The Shining was Korean and it was a giallo flick.
Sort of, yeah.
It had kind of a color palette from it actually kind of had a 90s color palette.
It was a beautiful looking movie. I mean, like the framing and stuff like that. And I think the person that directed it, who I think their name is Kim Yoon-in, this might be their first movie. So, not a bad job, gotta say. Like I said, you know, the cinematography is really nice and shit like that. So basically what the story is that there's this girl named Yumi, and she's like in her 20s, I guess, looks like. And I guess her mom dies, and she has this little bitty sister. It's either her sister or her half-sister. I'm not, I don't remember. But she's like way, way younger. She's only like 6 or 7. So she basically has to take responsibility for this little girl. And she's not too jazzed about it because I guess, you know, she doesn't have a job. She's kind of, you know, she doesn't have a lot of money and she's kind of having her own shit. And she, I guess she was kind of estranged from her family prior because, you know, she thinks the mom committed suicide or had mental illnesses and she's afraid she might follow in the footsteps, blah, blah, blah. So there's like this whole thing. So what she does is she takes this little girl, she picks her up from the orphanage, and like the lady at the orphanage, I love how fucking blunt the lady was basically like, this kid's defective. I don't know if that's the word she used, but she said something to that effect. I was like, wow, that's nice. But so she takes the little girl from the orphanage and she goes to this kind of remote hotel that her mom's best friend owns. And I guess it's not abandoned, but it's off season. So it's like there's nobody there. It's like it's, you know, the woman that owns it is there and there's like one maid, but that's about it. And like a couple people like come in and out. And just like in The Shining, there's like a haunted room. In this case, it's 405. And, you know, ghostly things, ghostly hijinks ensue. And also there's kind of a mystery with what really happened to, like, who this ghost is, what really happened to the girl's mom in this hotel, and various other things. So, like I said, this is... It does have a lot of homages to The Shining. Like, a lot of the shots are... You can tell they were kind of referencing that. And just, you know, just these long, you know, hotel hallways with, like, the little girl and, like, the creepy room and everything like that. It's not exactly like it, but you can tell that they're kind of, like, homaging it. You know, like I said, the cinematography is really beautiful. The framing of the shots is really beautiful. Like, I really, really like... The set design, the production design is really, really good. I will say that very early on, and I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but very early on, there was a really good, I don't want to call it a jump scare necessarily, because it wasn't like a, hey, big ghost in your face type of thing. It was just like a really, and it was really quick. It was like a second, but it was like just this great, like this shocking, unexpected imagery. And when I saw it, I just went, like that. And like, I don't do that. Like when I watch horror movies.
Yeah, and I missed it. I was looking away at the time.
And I was like, oh my God, that was great.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it.
Just because I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
So I will say that it had one of my, like I said, I don't want to call it a jump scare because it wasn't like, ah, it wasn't like that, but it was just like an unexpected moment. And I was just like, wow, I really, really like that. And I feel like that was kind of like the best scare in it. I will say that this movie is, it's definitely a horror movie and it's creepy and there's ghosts and stuff, but it's a lot more of like, it's pretty subdued and it's a lot more of like a drama.
It's
like
a little slow.
A little bit. Like it's like a family drama, like with occasional ghost activity.
I liked it. It's just that it was a little slow and my mind started to wander a couple times.
The story was a tad convoluted.
I was going to say that. I had a hard time following the story.
Tad convoluted.
It's a little Korean in the way that they did things. Korean writing is sometimes kind of like Japanese writing. Let's say storytelling. Korean storytelling is like kind of like Japanese storytelling. It's not quite in the same three-act kind of situation as it is in Western stuff. It kind of meandering.
You really have to pay attention to every conversation.
You're not really sure what's important and what isn't. And then all of a sudden something happens. You're like, why did that happen? It's because you really weren't paying attention, you know what I mean, 15 minutes ago or something that happened. But I did like the tone, all right? It's set in a hotel that looks very abandoned, and it's kind of octagonal and maybe about 7 stories tall, mm-hmm. but it doesn't look very big around. And it's got an abandoned parking lot outside of it. It's out in the mountains. It took me back to Korea. I mean, you used to see stuff like that in Korea. Just some building. You're like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? And it did look, they would look abandoned. You're not really sure if you're looking at a government building. Is that an apartment or is that a damn pump house? Or is that part of the water department? What the fuck is that? Because some of the stuff in Korean, some of the stuff in the Korean architecture, it's not... Back in those days, it wasn't real recognizable to a Westerner. You weren't sure what kind of building you were looking at.
Yeah.
The way they built things. And you can tell this really is an abandoned location from at least the outside, the exterior shot that they showed you. And you used to see that shit a lot down there. So it kind of took me back to that. And you could tell that was some funny architecture. It's yeah. not... The base of the building, which is octagonal, is not very big, but it's kind of tall. Almost kind of like a small version of the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something. Then you get in there and you find out it's a hotel with like an octagonal central open space with halls that go around, and there's rooms on the outside of it. And when you can look up, it looks big until somebody looks over the fucking rail and you realize how small that internal space is. Yeah. You can see why it was abandoned. It didn't look like it would be an ideal business, you know what I mean? Business layout. It was looked a little small for what it was.
Yeah.
But what it did was is that it gave the movie a certain tone. It reminded me of something like one of those Dead Mall videos.
It did kind of have that feel to it. I really liked...
Or urban exploration type
yeah,
video.
I really liked it because, I mean, the hotel didn't look like shitty. Like, it wasn't like falling apart or anything. Like, it still looked like it was in okay shape.
Yeah. The shapes, though, and the colors of the places were a little weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that Koreans had a weird way of faking Western architecture, too. Like, some of the clubs we used to hang out with, they would try to make that shit look as comfortable for us as possible, you know, make it look Western, right?
Yeah.
So they'd have damn old West wagon wheels and shit in it, fucking hanging from the ceiling, mixed with something else, like from a scene from something out of Holland. So you could, you know what I mean? So you're like, wait a minute, hold on. I got
it's all Western European shit.
Yeah, but it's fake Old West, like 1950s Old West mixed with fucking the little Dutch boy and, you know what I mean? And Mexico over here. They didn't know what they didn't have any cultural
context
for any of this shit. And you used to see some of that stuff in architecture, some of the new architecture they would make. It would look like a cross between Korean and Western mixed with, I don't know, tacky sometimes. You know, just some tacky shit. And they think that would look real fucking sophisticated, but you're looking at, man, some tacky shit right there, you know? And so that's what you're seeing, and you saw that in that architecture,
yeah.
right? Like, you know what I mean? The things over the doors that the arches are kind of strange shaped, and it's just the way Koreans used to do things. I think that was a 90s build. That building.
Yeah, it might have
been. It looked like it was the 90s. And I was there in fucking 1991 and 1990. And there was a special version of 90s Korean tacky. You know, you just see it. And that was kind of it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than usual, though. That was supposed to, you know, they kind of had it dressed up like it was an abandoned high-class hotel at one time, you know.
Yeah.
That'd have been pretty good for Korea, especially that area that they showed. That was out somewhere near fucking Imjimgak is what it looked like. Rolling hills up almost in the north.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't even think they said like where it was supposed to be. I guess it didn't really matter. Because like other than the beginning where she picks like her little sister up from the orphanage, pretty much the whole thing takes place in the hotel, right? I don't think there's any...
As you go north in Korea, as you start going to the northern part of South Korea, it just ends up being rolling hills. Nothing but just rolling hills and rice paddies and flat areas. You know what I mean? In between the rolling hills. And the further north you go, the more jagged and the steeper those hills get. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
So that was around somewhere like around Camp... That was north of Camp Casey. I, that's what it looked like terrain-wise. North of Camp Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was, I mean, it's not doing anything revolutionary in the Asian horror milieu, if you want to, like, be snobby about it. It does... It has, like, a lot of the same, you know, tropes that, you know, other Korean horror movies have had, that other Japanese horror movies have had. You know, you got your, you know, long-haired ghost, like, with the long black hair, and it, you know, kind of creeps around and pops up in the mirror every now and then. But that said, if you kind of like more slow burn, kind of gothic, sort of more drama mystery, like with a little bit of ghostly shit in it, you know, it's worth watching. I think it's worth watching. I really liked, there was just something about it that was really, I guess it was like the whole environment. Like, I really liked the look of the inside of that hotel and like just the feeling that it gave you while you were watching it. So it's like, even during the parts, like, you know, in the second act when it was like slowing down a little and I was getting a little bit confused as to like what was going on, I was still like interested to see what was happening just because it was so cool looking. You know what I mean? Also, I got to say, the little girl that was in it was great. You know what I mean? A lot of child actors, maybe not so much nowadays, but a lot of child actors are kind of, you know, they're annoying or shrill or whatever. But she was actually, she did a good job and she was adorable also.
Sandra says, who clicked the thumbs down? Sandra, don't worry about that shit, man. Whenever whenever I start talking, they see me, they're going to click the thumbs down because I'm fucking pretty, man. Because I'm fucking pretty. They can say, that jealous. Handsome motherfucker, and they're going to thumbs down.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that dude. That's what they're doing.
Fuck that guy. Maybe
it,
so.
Yeah, it ain't easy being pretty.
I wouldn't know.
It's okay. She said, Jenny's handsome.
Yeah, I'm handsome.
Jenny's handsome.
How do we get off of these fucking...
Just making shit up.
Oh my God, it's like fucking...
It's our job.
It. I guess so. Yeah, yeah, it is now.
It's our job.
Yeah. Oh my God, we have pizza and I'm just like, thank you, Mango, thank you. For those who remember last night, so not me.
Thanks, man.
This is for Burt Reynolds and the Cannonball Run.
Fucking right.
I remember we talked about Burt Reynolds last night.
Yeah, so he complained that I like what you guys do, but there's too many guys go off topic.
Oh yeah, I saw that earlier.
I said, man, we used to keep this show to a tight 1 hour, 1 hour time limit. But people liked it better when we relaxed it up. Relaxed the time limit
up. I feel like, yeah.
People, so, you know, our regulars like it when we just...
And it's weird.
We stick to the topic, but we're going to...
Well, I mean, most of the time, but...
Yeah. We're going to give you some sidetrack shit, man. We're going to get sidetracked on something. And then we go back.
You could learn all kinds of interesting things. Yeah. You could be watching a show about some completely unrelated topic, and then, bam, there's a recipe for meatloaf.
Well, most people, you know, they got headphones on. They're trying to get some sleep, or they're driving a truck, or they're at work. You know what I mean? They're trying to kill 3 hours. I know the deal. I do the same thing.
When I'm working in here and just want something to, like, zone out to in the background, I'll put on like some of those channels that have like 3 or 4 hours of like just people reading scary stories from Reddit or something like that. I found one the other day that does like 10 hour ones.
I like urban exploration and like dead mall videos and, you know, retail archaeology, all that kind of stuff. Just something that's got a good soundtrack and they just show me
because they have like all that vaporwave in the background, and usually most of your main like dead mall videos, like Dan Bell and Sal, who does
Sal. Retail archaeology
and retail archaeology, like they have like really relaxing voices.
Yeah,
so with, you know,
good
what I mean?
Relaxing soundtrack in the back.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's what, one of Dan Bell's videos that had that Olivia Newton-John song in it. That was what inspired us to watch Xanadu the other day, just because of that fucking song that was playing in the background. Because it makes him sound all distant, like it was really in a mall.
Yeah, and I like seeing those old buildings, you know what I mean? Those old mall interiors and fucking retail interiors, and they're just all vacant and abandoned, and it's like you're seeing something that was like a part of you growing up, and you're like, you could have never would have imagined that something like that would go away. And they're just showing you, this shit's old now and it's going away. Like standing next to the Grand Canyon or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything comes to an end. So I like it. I like it. It's kind of like a weird...
Well, they're kind of spooky, which I like about them.
Yeah.
Although the weird thing about it is that Dan Bell, he also does videos where he goes to like straight up like abandoned like creepy ass places, yeah. like fucking old hotels that have like crackheads squatting and
trying
stuff.
Trying to see if there's ghosts in them and stuff.
Trying to see if there's ghosts in him. He's so cute. Like he's trying to like fucking, he's like, what the fuck was that? he's like pretending he heard ghosts and whatnot. But weirdly, I don't find those as creepy as the Ted Mall ones.
That doesn't
make any sense.
What one that gets me is like, he'll sneak video of the dead mall on the inside and it looks fucking perfect, but it's like most of the spaces, the retail spaces are fucking empty, and you'll see these old people doing the walks around the mall walkers is what they call, and he'll fucking record the mall walkers, and it's fucking creepy because you got a dying mall and a bunch of old people walking around and fucking the dad's fucking with them about, yeah, he's walking off to his bright future. And you're like, dude, that dude's in his fucking late 70s, and you're saying he's got a bright future and shit. Fucking, yeah.
Maybe I think
they're dying just like that damn mall.
Maybe I think the dead mall videos are creepier because when you go, like, if you do urban exploration and you go to a place which is, like, abandoned or has been abandoned for a long time and it's just, like, you know, fallen to shit and it looks like there's fucking mold growing on everything, like, you expect that to be empty. Yeah. But I think, like, dead malls, because a lot of them look like still kind of brand new, like, especially, so I think the creepiest ones are the ones that still look new, like, they haven't been, you know, they haven't been abandoned that long and then there's just nobody in there. To me, that's, like, creepier than like a place that looks like abandoned, has been abandoned for a long time. I don't know. Yeah,
Svet from Bulgaria giving us a thumbs up, saying he's a big fan.
What's up, Bulgaria? Right. Wow, we got people from all over the world. All over the world.
Deep in the honky motherland.
Deep in the honky motherland.
That's right.
Oh my God. Oh man. All right. Yeah. I need a nap.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I told Tom, I was like, well, is he talking about old man nap? I said, I need an old lady nap today. Not usually, but today I do.
Yeah, I think the dead malls are videos are creepy when the mall, like you said, is in pristine condition.
Yeah, that's to me like creepier.
Yeah, one of the ones that was dying, it was just fucking totally empty. It was a brand new mall. It was only 8 years old. It was like the last mall.
They built it like fairly recently, like as mall construction goes.
Yeah, it was 8 years. I think it had only been there for 8 years at the time that he recorded it, but that was probably like 5 years ago. But that was like the last mall ever built, and it was beautiful, pretty much. Wood floors, totally empty, nobody in it.
Yep.
We knew a place like that. We did a podcast from a mall like that, remember? Fucking got the old Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big, beautiful mall. It's gone. It's torn down.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they put a damn amusement park in the middle of the mall.
Yep.
Or not really an amusement park. What do you call it? Like a big obstacle course.
Yeah.
You could crawl across it. I mean, it didn't attract anybody.
He wants to. Are there many abandoned malls in the U.S.? There are quite a few. I don't know how many there are offhand, because a lot of the dead mall channels that you see, like some of them go to the same ones.
Yeah.
But because some of the ones that are like kind of famous, but not all malls in the U.S. are dead. I mean, before the pandemic, we had our, Altamont Mall, which is not too far from us. That's where we used to go to the movies.
Yeah.
That was, I think every storefront was occupied still.
Yeah.
I think it still had all or most of its anchor stores.
Yeah, but the
anchors, and it was usually pretty busy.
Yeah, the problem was that the anchor stores that keep those places open were all closing nationwide. Yeah.
So I don't know how it's doing now.
That may not even be there anymore. We have to go back and look at it. And then once the anchor stores are gone, they're the ones paying the rent.
Paying
the most rent to keep the mall air conditioned. And then once they're gone, you can't really air condition the thing for very long and people start leaving.
I mean, some of them, they've been able to convert into, like, say, office space.
Yeah, but even that's going away.
But
because commercial office real estate is fucking plummeting in most of the country. So it won't.
Well, yeah, I mean, since most people have been transitioning to, like, work from home, remotely.
So, but if you want to see what we're talking about, you want to go on YouTube and go look for Dan Bell.
Yeah.
That's the name of the channel.
Is it just Dan Bell or This Is Dan Bell?
Might be This Is Dan Bell. But you can just put Dan Bell Dead Malls and his shit will come up.
Because he's kind of the best known
one. Yeah, he's the best one. And you can watch his entire series. You can just zone out And it's kind of like, everything's very retro, everything's very nostalgic. It's like what it was like growing up in the 80s and the 90s in the United States. When malls were the main way we got our retail products. Came from malls. All replaced by cell phones. No. You can't compete with cell phone and Amazon. You just can't.
Yeah. Well,
the prices and the selection are so much better, and I order it, and the next day it's at my front door.
Yeah, it's like you can't get any easier than that. Yep,
and it saves you money on gas, and it sucks because it puts everybody out of a job. But that's the way technology increases. You don't see people shoeing horses much anymore. You don't see people making carriages. You don't see people running fucking steam engines.
Churning butter.
You don't see people churning butter much.
I bet it's good if you
churn
it.
Yeah, I've made butter before. But cream, just keep whipping it. Yeah. A little bit of salt. Whang, it'll turn into butter. It's really good. It's got to turn into whipped cream first, and then boom, collapses into butter.
Like magic.
Yeah, it's really good. But doing it by hand would be a bitch, though. I use an electric mixer.
Well, yeah.
But, it was just another time. I don't know how old you are, Sven, but that was how we got our shit. He goes, yeah, 19 America rocks. He's looking at the channel. 1980s America, we were there at the time, and we thought it was fucking really fucking high tech back in the days, but you look at it now, and shit, man, it was like $600 for a fucking shitty color television.
Yeah.
$8,000 for a really shitty fucking American car. You look at the architecture and the clothes, and it looked very fucking... We remember what it was like trying to shop. There just wasn't any selection.
Yeah.
You'd have people talking about, oh, man, it's capitalism, this and that. It didn't seem like capitalism. It seemed more like the Soviet Union. It was, yeah, you had to pay for shit, yeah, but it was very bulk. The products were very, very generic, and there were a lot of them. And it was kind of like a top-down kind of supply chain that was forced on you. You went to the store, and this is what you have to buy, and only this. This is all you have.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't find any goth clothes, or you'd have to go to some special shop, like, out in New York.
Or you'd have to mail order.
You'd have to mail order it. We used to mail order stuff, you know. So it really wasn't until the mid-90s, you started seeing online shopping and a good selection and choice. And that shit felt high-tech as fuck. First time I bought something over online, I felt like I was in the Running Man from Arnold Schwarzenegger, man, when he bought that damn airline ticket over web TV.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I had a web TV. It was blowing my fucking mind. I was shopping at Hot Topic over the television. It was a fucking trip. And other people couldn't grasp what I was doing. I was like, that works? And I said, yeah, it works. And I did it with an ATM card, which was kind of like a new thing. We called it a bank card.
Yeah.
Back in those days. And you couldn't use it at a store. You could only use it at an ATM to get cash. And then you used cash to buy stuff in the store.
Yeah, I remember not being able to use
ATM. You couldn't use it at the store.
You could use credit cards.
You could use credit card. That was it.
Couldn't use an ATM.
But I used an ATM card to pay for something over the internet, and that somebody saw me do it, I don't remember what it was, and it blew their mind. They're like, what? Is it? Yeah, I bought it online with this with my fucking bank card.
Oh my god. Like, it's like the fucking Jetsons all up in here.
Wow. That's some fucking heavy duty shit, man.
It's really weird, I guess. I guess because it just happened. I mean, everything happened like naturally and organically, so it wasn't really.
Yeah.
It's really weird, like, how incremental, like, how different it is nowadays. But since it happened in small increments, it wasn't, like, a big shock or anything.
You look back, and it's, technology just built up. Now it's just collapsing. The technology that we have is collapsing huge sectors of the fucking economy. Retail estate and commercial real estate for offices and stuff is just cities... Cities are going to go obsolete because there's no real reason for a city. Like it used to be, you'd have to move to downtown New York to do online to work for some kind of banking firm. You're making $700,000 a year. Well, you can do that from home now, and you can live in Mississippi and do it, working for a New York firm in Mississippi in your house. You know, so you don't need to spend $7,000 a month for your high-rise apartment. You know what I mean? Fucking, you could be somewhere in Laurel, Mississippi, paying $400 a month for a fucking mansion and have five cars and a private helicopter, because you'd be able to afford a private helicopter. So in a way, it's kind of getting more efficient. It's cutting out a lot of middlemen. But problem was, a lot of those middlemen were part of the economy. But you know what? Fuck them. A lot of those middlemen were in banking and pharmaceuticals, and they didn't really do anything. They just had this position where they could grift off of the flow of money. They themselves weren't anything important, and they're losing their shit. I'm kind of glad about it. I'm happy. Because they were stealing, basically. They didn't really have a purpose. They were people always saying, you know, these people at the bottom of society, these poor people are like parasites. No, there are more parasites up at the top.
Well, yeah.
A lot more parasites at the top.
I can't afford to be a parasite.
Especially our political class. They're just fucking parasites. A lot of them don't have real jobs. They got fake jobs. They get grift. Grift and bribes and kickbacks. Selling off the power of their office. All that shit's gonna get exposed though over time. People know what's going on.
Yeah.
People know what's going on now. And a lot of what they're doing is legal. It's just that they're going to be cut out of the chain by technology eventually. That's what I think will do it. You know what I mean? Because what they're doing is it's not illegal technically. Well, some of it is, but a lot of it isn't illegal. But technology will catch up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, I need a nap.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, if you have Shudder and you're into Asian horror, and anything I said about this movie lingering sounded great, like I said, it's not fantastic, but it's worth watching. You know what I mean? I thought it was like a pretty decent movie. Nice to look at. Had a couple nice sort of jump scares in it that I thought were pretty cool. Good acting. So, you know, your mileage may vary. So, whatever. Yeah. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow doing another movie review. I got a couple lined up that I will probably watch on Hulu this evening, and then we'll talk about them tomorrow. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for dropping by. Bye.